Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Honestly, my radio was old and mangy. It was on its last legs. All I could get was staticky mainstream media programs. My face, my elbows, my ears ached from all the junk I listened to. I thought I was going to have to put the radio down. You know, like Hunter Thompson in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Plug in the old thing, put on Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit, get in the tub, and when the song reached the climax, have my husband throw the radio in the water. Just get it over with. My son heard the commercial for Dynamike.
D-I-N-O-M-I-K. K-E.com.
The Mike Novak Show.
Carrots, beets, broccoli, organic potatoes, spelt and gluten-free bread. The important conversations that are cooked out of other radio shows.
After listening for 2 hours on Sunday, my radio was like new again. It was the most amazing thing. When he tells bad jokes, it brings tears to my eyes. But the inside of my belly has cleared up.
773-763-9278. 773-763-9278.
The Mike Novak Show.
D-I-N-O-M-I-K-E.com.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. To Mike, it's not just another banana peel, it's future dirt. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody, although I know that this is not supposed to be a happy occasion. It's a somber occasion. It is how we honor those who have fallen in service to our country. But my best to all military folks out there, and the best thing you can do to honor their name is to make sure that we don't go into any more unnecessary wars. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? Stop going places where we can't afford it, where we don't belong. Get out of places where we don't belong. That would be a good thing. And that's really a good way to honor the folks who have served our country. It's the Mike Novak Show. Good morning. A beautiful Sunday. Another one. Wow. Carrie Morris, that's two in a row.
I know. I've been outside all weekend already.
I actually, on Friday evening, mowed what lawn I have, which is not very much. But, yeah, I did. I just had to, I had to do that. It was, and it looks great. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, yay!
Yeah, it's nice to finally be able to have green grass.
Yeah. and you know, some of it has grown, very fast.
Yeah. I've been watching my, in-laws have been mowing twice a week now because the grass is growing so quickly.
Well, and that's the thing here in the spring when it's cool, because these are cool season grasses, they love to grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. And, they grow fast and they slow down in the summer when it, gets a little bit warmer. And I tell you, there's, as I've said on the program before, In terms of lawns, my philosophy is when in doubt, rip it out. But on the other hand, there's something about the smell of fresh cut grass that's still pretty cool. And, you know, it's evocative. It brings back childhood memories and a sense of comfort, you know, that sort of thing. So, hey, you're a big radio star. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you busy? Are you taking care of stuff there for me? Sorry. Sorry, Carrie. I didn't mean to distract you.
There was a phone call.
Oh, go get your phone call.
I did. I got it. I got him on the line.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted to just point out that you are a star.
Oh, thank you.
You are the star of the Dynamike spot.
That was fun.
It was fun putting it together. For those who, you know, I feel like maybe I got to play it one more time.
Maybe.
You think folks are actually listening to this and maybe.
So of course.
Those of you who might have listened at the top of the show, some people I think come in late, you know, after 9. If you did, you missed this.
Honestly, my radio was old and mangy. It was on its last legs. All I could get was staticky mainstream media programs. My face, my elbows, my ears ached from all the junk I listened to. I thought I was going to have to put the radio down. You know, like Hunter Thompson in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Plug in the old thing, put on Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit, get in the tub, and when the song reached the climax, have my husband throw the radio in the water. Just get it over with. My son heard the commercial for Dynamike.
DINOMIKE.com.
The Mike Novak Show.
Carrots, beets, broccoli, organic potatoes, spelt and gluten-free bread. The important conversations that are cooked out of other radio shows.
After listening for 2 hours on Sunday, my radio was like new again. It was the most amazing thing. When he tells bad jokes, it brings tears to my eyes. But the inside of my belly has cleared up.
773-763-9278.
773-763-9278.
The Mike Novak Show.
DINOMIKE.com.
Those of you who listen to Chicago's Progressive Talk will get it. Those of you who just listen on the weekends, well, you'll probably still get it too, because, you hear that here, as well. So, anyway, I hope you enjoy that. Carrie was, one of the stars. Actually, the whole team kind of put that together. So I was really, really happy to do that. Today on the show, well, first of all, I got to thank the folks over at, Christy Weber, Farm and Garden, where I appeared yesterday, and it was really a lot of fun hanging out and talking to folks and seeing. Actually picked up some stuff for my yard. You know, that's how it works. You go to a garden center and you end up buying stuff. That's the danger. That's always the danger of hanging out there. But that was really fun. On today's show, I'm the first hour addressing the spring and what we are dealing with in our yards, especially because I got an email from my buddy Dan Costa at Vern Goer's Greenhouse. Let's give him a ding. The other week, and it was about shrubs. And if you have boxwoods or yews or some other evergreens and they've come out of this winter and they're brown, it, or half brown or a third or whatever, they don't look good, you might want to consider getting rid of them. Talk to Dan about that. And I'm telling you, there are dead boxwoods all over the city and probably all over this region. It's, you know, you're going to hear later in the show, it's a pretty good excuse to get some natives. Get rid of the boxwood and go to natives. But Dan Costa will be here. And speaking of natives, well, Rick DeMaio, he's not a native to Chicago, but to the East Coast. But he'll be here at 9:45. But in terms of speaking of natives, after 10 o'clock, I'm going to have Kelsey Shaw from Possibility Place Nursery. You've heard me talk about them in the last several weeks about their native plant sales that they've been having in Lake County with the Forest Preserve District of Lake County and the Forest Preserve District of Will County. It's Will County next week, and I will be out there as well. And I'm going to talk to him and Marcy DeMauro, who's the executive director of the Forest Preserve District of Will County, about we're going to try to get specific. So you're welcome to call. You're welcome to call the first hour, too, 773-763-9278. Give us a holler if you got any questions. I see we've got one on the line, Jim. We're going to get to you when I get Dan on the line. So if you'll just hang, Jim, I will get to you. And others, you're welcome to call 773-763-9278. Dino Mike! In fact, I could, no, I'm not going to play that again. Not yet. Maybe next hour. And we'll be talking about the benefits of native plants and specifically what kind are out there. I know we're always saying, oh, you got to plant natives. And I'm sure a lot of folks say, well, which kind, which ones, you know, and you're right. We need to get specific. So we will, definitely do that. And then it gets, even more interesting. Second half of the 10 o'clock hour. Jen Walling from Illinois Environmental Council, Josh Mogerman from the NRDC, Stacy Myers from Open Lands. Going to be talking about what's going on in Springfield because we're at the very end of the session. And guess what? There's a lot. This is what happens in, I'm sure we're not alone. You know, it's not just the Illinois General Assembly. But typically, you throw stuff in there at the last second and you do it on a Friday before the holiday, so people aren't paying attention. Well, guess what? I'm paying attention. Some of this stuff involves the fracking, the new fracking law in Illinois, and a way to undermine that. Yoo-hoo! Gosh, I bet you didn't see that coming, did you? You didn't see our own legislators trying to undermine the law they passed just last year and that's still in process? Nah, I didn't see that coming either. The Ileana Tollway, a really, really, really bad idea that's being pushed by Governor Quinn and other folks. We're going to talk about why that's such a bad idea and then what's going on with that at the last second in the 11th hour, people trying to push stuff through on that. So it's going to get interesting. And, of course, as I said, you're always welcome to call 773-763-9278. On Facebook, you can go to The Mike Novak Show. N-O-W-A-K, on Twitter, at Mike Now, M-I-K-E-N-O-W. You can always listen to podcasts at MikeNovak.net. Please go to my website. Go to this week's show. I've written up stuff about this, about everything that's going on in the show, as I always do. If it's there and you want to know more, go into detail. I've got links. I've got opinions. I got facts. And I put them up there on this week's show just so people like you who listen to the show and say, I want to know more, can go to the website and do that. And finally, last but not least, please support my sponsors. They support me. You should support them. If you go to MikeNovak.net at the homepage, on the homepage at the top, it says about the show. That's where you go. And there's also also on the right side, our great sponsors. Go there and you can find out more about what's going in. So stick around. I hope you enjoy the show. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. And are pesky insects blurring your rose-colored glasses? Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 can clear up that problem right away. Rose RX 3-in-1 is an easy-to-use rose and flower spray that will control insects, disease, and mites on your prize roses and flowers, and it's entirely natural. That's what we like about it. Bonide Rose RX 3-in-1 spray can be used on roses, flowers, trees, and shrubs. It can even be used on most household plants to control insects, disease, and even hard-to-control mites. So when you start to see diseases or insects invading your garden, go get Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1. Your insect and disease problems will be solved naturally. Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 comes in quart ready-to-use spray for easy applications and an economical pint-size concentrate. Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 can be found at Pesci's in Des Plaines. Say hi to Chris for me. Platt Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville. Say hi to Platt Hill for me. and Abel's Ace Hardware in Homer Glen. Not sure whether you say hi to Abel or to Homer. Go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you.
Hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow-em-yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at BonniePlants.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
At the end of the week, it will be June. Yes, you heard me correctly. You can check your calendar if you think I'm making it up. Some weather guys will say it's meteorological summer. Some weather guys will say it's climatological summer. Either way, if it's still 50 degrees outside, it ain't summer. Thank you very much. However, the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine might have a workaround for that problem. It's something called indoor vertical farming, and it's happening all over the country, including around Chicago. The story reports on places like Farmed Here in Bedford Falls, Bedford Park, Illinois. Just an darn minute here. And Green Spirit Farm in New Buffalo, Michigan, and they're growing their produce year-round under the lights, kind of like at Wrigley Field, except with more success. Then there's my column on the inside back page. I am the Chicago Cubs of horticultural columnists. To find out what that means, pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at locations all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
Indeed. That means let's go to the phones and bring in my buddy Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale, Illinois. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Thanks for sending me that email last week. It kind of, yeah. I had had this on my radar screen, and you kind of brought it home. I
made a blip on your radar.
Yes, you did. You made a blip on the radar. In fact, the headline I've got on my website, if you go to this week's show, is Houston, we have a problem with our evergreens.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere. And I know. And how do I know this? If you go to on this week's show, I've got photos. And what's really interesting is I went to Hyde Park. I was in Hyde Park. And there was an office building down there that had planted yews and boxwoods.
Mm-hmm.
And the boxwoods were dead, completely. They had turned completely tan. All right, just gone. And the yew looked like it's about 70% gone.
Yeah, both of those were very susceptible this year.
But I'm kind of surprised because yew is one of those plants that where you think you can't kill it. All right, this is a plant you can't kill. Well, it turns out that, I guess, 19 degree below zero temperatures can kill even a yew, huh?
Yeah, and part of the problem, too, I think I mentioned this to you before, is I think because we had a lot of sunny days, and that really gets the sap active in the foliage of the plants. They start, leaves warm up. They think it's springtime, start doing their thing, start losing water. And calling water up from the stems, And then at night we get very, very cold. All that water in there freezes. And instead the cells just burst like frozen water balloons, which, of course, kills all that tissue. We're seeing a lot of that on Alberta spruce and holly, as well as the boxwood and the yews. And it happens a lot on Alberta spruce in the wintertime anyway, normally on the southwest side of the shrub. And it even has the unique name of Southwest Disease, because it's almost like a compass. You can look at it, you know exactly which way southwest is.
Yeah.
Because that's the strongest sun of the day. It warms that tissue up, and it's, it gets all active, and then it freezes at night and turns brown.
Yikes.
It's been very common.
Well, and then, of course, northwest is the direction that the wind comes in during the winter. So if you've got a plant exposed to the southwest and the northwest, it's a double threat.
Yeah, it's in serious trouble.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. What I did, Dan, and actually Kathleen found this article, and we put it in my newsletter. I sent out my newsletter just the other day. And by the way, folks, if you want to sign up for the Mike Novak Show newsletter, you can do that just by going to my homepage, MikeNovak.net, and you'll get interesting stuff. Not very often, because I don't want to clutter your inbox. I do like to send notices out, and you can keep in touch that way.
Yeah, good read.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Kathleen found this article written by this woman, Deborah Silver, has a firm, design firm in Michigan, Deborah Silver & Co., and she also operates a garden center called Detroit Garden Works, which is actually located in Sylvan Lake, Michigan, but it's called Detroit Garden Works. And she did a blog on this, several weeks ago, and it was under the title, The Bad News. And it showed evergreens of all kinds that had taken hits. And what she wrote was, many landscapes show damage which is hard to understand. Some plants are untouched. Others are burned all over. Others are burned in specific spots. Some have been killed outright. Do I have a simple and swift explanation? Not really. Some species of plants that are marginally hardy in our area, many of these are in the killed outright list. Do I have zone 5 and 6 plants in my landscape? Yes. A once in a 130-year winter cycle would not prevent any gardener from testing the limits.
Which we all do.
Which we do. The fact is, my 20-year-old garden is but a short intermission in the bigger scheme of things. This spring is making me realize that nature bats both first and last. There is no negotiating once a winter tests the limits of cold hardiness. Too cold is simply too cold. No Zone 6 specialty conifer could have fared well this past winter. I have no easy and no simple answers.
Yeah, we've been pushing the limits a lot. And there's been talk on your show a lot about how we're, milder winters and able to plant stuff that's a little bit less zone hardy, but Mother Nature has decided to come around and remind us where we actually live.
Yeah.
And I'm still in control, not you people. So. Yeah,
exactly. And all right. And so then after I saw that, I was at Christy Weber yesterday, and they were telling Marina, their farm manager, was saying that they had sent out another post to their employees. And it's written by Jeff Isles with the Department of Horticulture at Iowa State University. And it's titled, Why Was the Winter of 2013-14 So Hard on Our Landscape Plants? And he comes to the conclusion that there were a number of factors, that as we entered late fall and early winter, soil conditions were dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you know, if you got an evergreen, you got to water it going. I tell people this in the fall all the time, water until the ground is frozen. If it's Thanksgiving and the ground's not frozen, put the turkey in the oven and go out and water your plants, especially your shrubs. You know, same thing on Christmas, put the turkey in the oven and go out and water if you have to.
Most people do not do that.
No. And so he says, as a result, many landscape plants entered winter under stress or in a weakened condition. He said severe low temperatures, as we know, cause the soil to freeze to impressive depths. Yes, Rick DeMaio has talked about that. We were down like to 18 inches, I think, here. This could have resulted in root death to sensitive or stressed plants. When snowfall eventually arrived, it blanketed the ground without interruption, persisting until early spring in some locations and ensuring frozen soil until late March or early April. Strong winds seem to be an everyday occurrence. When coupled with high light intensity and frozen soil conditions, the damaged evergreens became a foregone conclusion. And then, of course, the very, very, very low temperatures. Now, but he brings up something you brought up. See, when you wrote your piece, you said to me some, and you use the air quotes around the word landscapers. You said some landscapers are going around applying fertilizer to the dead and dying and saying it will make them green.
Yeah.
And charging nice prices. I guess they believe in resurrection. Very funny.
Exactly.
But what this guy Iles says, Jeff Iles at Iowa State, he said, and this is what he wrote, it is important to remember that fertilizer is not a cure-all for winter-injured plants. If a soil test determines that mineral elements are deficient, then applying an appropriate fertilizer makes perfect sense. But high rates of fertilizer will not miraculously close sun-scald wounds, restore life to killed roots or buds, or reverse any of the other negative effects resulting from the memorable winter of 2013-14.
Yeah, that's very true. A lot of people think of fertilizer like a medication. You know, if it's doing badly, there's something wrong with it, it's got dead foliage, we'll just pour a lot of fertilizer on it and it'll turn green and everything will be just fine. Yeah, I had a customer call in early in the season, like end of March, first of April, saying that she has 100 ewes in a hedge, and most of them were half to three-quarters turned brown. And she wanted to know an opinion of what to do about them because somebody had come out, charged her $400 to fertilize these and promised her they would turn green, which, of course, they didn't. And I told her, well, you could have took that $400 and threw it in the garbage can because the fertilizer wasn't going to do a thing.
Or you could have taken it and bought new plants.
Yeah, what she ended up having to do was ripping out almost the entire hedge and having it all replaced because the damage was far too great to get over it. So.
Yeah.
Fertilizer is not a magic bullet.
And, you know,
come in and they want something like that.
Yeah.
I've had people bringing in pieces of plants and showing it to me and saying, well, what if I fertilize? You know, I say, how much is this? Well, most of the plant is like this. What if I put more fertilizer on it? It's like not going to help. It's not going to do a thing. If it's that bad, take it out.
Yeah. You know, and that's a really weird thing that people... They like you said, they think fertilizer is medication, and that's a really good way of putting it, Dan. I've never quite been able to figure out what it is about fertilization that people are so enamored of, because they don't understand plants and they don't understand the way they work. So, for instance, I sent a friend your quote about, you know, fertilization, how it's not going to bring these things back to life. And that, you know, if your plant is 50% dead, get rid of it. Okay, yeah. Get it out of there. And he wrote back and he said, okay, so I get it. So I should remove the plants that are more than 50% dead and fertilize the rest. And I was like, no, that's not what I said. You're not paying attention.
Well, I tell people not to fertilize any plant that's not doing well. Because think of it as if you had a really bad cold or the flu, and you're in bed with this, and somebody comes along with this gorgeous four-course meal and puts it in front of you. It's the same thing to the plant. Do you want to eat that four-course meal? No, you want somebody to take it away and get it out of your sight. The plant is in a weakened condition. You put the fertilizer on. It's going to burn the tips of the roots because it's not going to take it in properly. And the plant's going to be in even worse shape after you fertilize it than it was before.
And that's a really good point, too, that if a fertilizer is going to burn the tips, it means that they're probably using synthetic fertilizers because, you know, they want to get the job done really quick.
Yeah, and probably at a higher rate than the package tells them to.
Right. If some is good, more is better. There you go. All right, listen, we got a couple of phone calls I want to get to, so let me take care of some business. I'm going to make you answer questions, Dan. It's Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale. The website there is verngoersgreenhouse.com. They've got some great tips on the website that you might want to take a look at. Dan will be right back with us. Now, if you're one of those folks who watched your boxwoods turn a lovely golden brown or tan color this winter and spring, it's time you started thinking about chucking those foreigners and going native. And just in time to help you do that, Possibility Place Nursery in Moni is teaming up with the Forest Preserve District of Will County for their Bringing Nature Home Native Plant Sale next Saturday, May 31st, from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Sugar Creek Administration Center, 17540 West Laraway Road in Joliet. There will be vendors, landscaping experts, garden artisans, and free hands-on workshops, and more than 100 species of native perennials, shrubs, and trees. And just to make sure you show up, I'll be there too. And I'll be checking off the names of all of my listeners who don't show up. Well, maybe not. Anyway, for more information, go to my website, mikenovak.net. It's right on the homepage. You can find the link there. Or go to possibilityplace.com or reconnectwithnature.org or call 815-727-8700, 815-727-8700. I hope I'll see you in Will County. I'll be there at 10:30, so come on by. And we can celebrate our native plants that we know will survive tough winters. The Forest Preserve District of Will County, bringing people and nature together.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
I'm sure you've heard of a term called greenwashing. That's when companies try to cash in on the green movement. But in reality, they're just trying to sell their products. First, do your homework. Don't get taken in by marketing claims. Second, if you want to know a company that is really green, check out Recycled Granite. In 5 years, owner Julie Rizzo has kept 30 million pounds of granite from ending up in landfills by creating methods, machinery, and markets, no easy thing, to recycle scrap granite. They resize the material into user-friendly dimensions that are more efficient and economical to transport and install. Their recycled split stone tiles are split thin, allowing twice the coverage of traditional tiles, greatly reducing environmental impact. Their recycled granite pavers are 3 times stronger than concrete pavers and will never fade or wear. And recycled granite established something called the Green Abilities Program. Individuals with disabilities go through a recycled granite artisan apprentice certification. And then they end up being able to work with the granite. You want to give them a call. Go to 800-692-4642. 800-692-4642. Or go to recycledgranite.com.
BINOMIKE.com.
It's getting near dawn.
The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And I just want to, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to tell you later. You know, some changes are coming to the FMs on Chicago's Progressive Talk, starting not this week, but the following week. Now, I'm not talking about Ed Schultz leaving. I'm talking about 92.7 and 99.9. It's going to have Polish programming. They are Paisans. That will affect just those two stations, and it will not affect this show. The weekends, Dick Kay, Mighty House, Mike Novak, and everybody else on the weekends out Chicago will not be affected by that change. So keep your dial tuned to Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, on the weekends. Even if you hear some Polish during the week. I'm hoping that you will stick with me. Let's go back to the phones. Dan Koster from Fern Growers, Vern Goers Greenhouse is with us. Sorry about that. Let's go to Jim. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi, Mike. It's Jim Schneider. Oh, Jim. Sorry.
I don't care. You can give me your last name, but I will hunt you down now that I have your last name.
I'm closing on a house. It has it's a quarter acre lot. It's an awful lot of weeds. Doesn't look like the last owner did anything useful with it. And you were talking Creepy Charlie, dandelions, velvet leaf, and a couple other nasties I haven't identified yet. And my plan for the yard is to turn into, some fruit trees, some fruit bushes, some grapevines, and a few vegetable beds. Initially, I figure I just want to kill off the weeds as much as I can and maybe start one small vegetable bed this year. I need an efficient solution for the whole yard. And if there's a really effective solution that takes a lot more work for a small area, I wouldn't mind that at all. But I wondered if you had any ideas about that.
Dan, what I'm going to suggest, is a shift in thought. To begin with, if you're going to put fruit trees and the vegetable garden, you know, a smaller area, that's easy. You could put down newspaper, cover it with mulch, throw some compost on that, and those weeds are goners, and they will never come up through all of that. And that's where you could put your vegetable bed. All right. If you say it's a smallish area. As for the larger area, I would say if you're growing fruit trees and some vegetables, why are you worried about the lawn that much? My feeling is you could start by, you know, just keeping it in check. For one thing, mowing dandelions before they go to seed is always a good way to go. Use some corn gluten meal in the spring and get the germinating seeds to be reduced in number. You could spot treat. You said velvet leaf. That's easy to pull up. You can just yank that and pull it up out of the ground by hand. That's really not that hard, especially, you know, in a smaller area. Dan, what do you think?
Those are all good ideas, and also maybe investing in some black plastic sheeting and putting that down on the ground for the summer over the areas where you have a lot of this weed. And what's going to happen is the black plastic is going to concentrate the heat of the sunlight underneath it, and it literally cooks the weeds and kills a lot of the weed seeds and everything. It's called solarizing the soil.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that, just given how bad it had gotten. I was a little worried that the amount of weeds might compete with especially the grapevines and the bushes.
You first have to really address the weed problem before you move on to the other stuff, because it's a lot easier to get rid of the weeds when you don't have your other things in yet.
Yeah, I was kind of figuring on this year for killing off the weeds and next year for really being able to go to town. Do you think it would be worth doing a cover crop, like maybe like a winter rye or something like that, and then cutting that down again to put something to compete with them?
Well, that would give you some organic matter into your soil next spring. But, again, it's not going to do much for getting the weeds out of there.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't put that down now anyway.
Then maybe like light till or just mow down.
Yeah, but what Dan's saying is they're still going to be there, you know. And it's, you know, going after a huge yard like that without nuking it is kind of tough. You know, I know that some people would advocate. See, I'm just not a fan of weed and feed products, so I'm not going to send you down that road.
No, I wouldn't do that either.
I'm more likely to tell you to spot treat with, you can do that with vinegar. You can do it. Have you tried the iron hedita, Dan?
No.
Because iron hedita is apparently a product you can use and takes out weeds pretty well. It's only been available for several years. And that is something that you might, Natria has, Bayer Advance sells it under Natria. And basically, the plants suck up the iron and it kills them. The lawn does not, but the broadleaf weeds do. And it's spelled H-E-D-T-A, but pronounced hedita. Go to a garden center and see if they have an iron hedita product. And you might try that. And if you do, I'd be interested in your advice. But if you can, you know, do parts of the yard, as Dan said, with solarization, that's one way to do it without chemicals. You just lay that plastic down. You got to leave it there for several months, but you're thinking of redoing the whole thing anyway.
Yeah, you're not really going to do much planting this year if you got all that weed problem anyhow. So you might as well just use this year as a way to get rid of the weed problem and then think about next spring doing all your fruit trees and everything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that I would try a combination of the two. Try some solarizations. Try some of that. Maybe, you know, corn gluten meal doesn't really, it takes several years for it to take effect. So you're not going to see instant results, but it is an organic way to go in the spring. Or the iron hedita, you might try that. Those are the three things I would recommend right now, Jim.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. And thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Let's take one more call before I let you go, Dan, and that's Jim in Lombard. Good morning, Jim.
This is Amtrak Tim, actually.
Oh, okay. Hey, Amtrak Tim.
You guys talking about shrubs and things that seem to do really well in this winter, and I wanted to talk up lilac bushes. I'm sure they're not native.
They're not.
They're not. But I tell you, they did, all of our lilac bushes did extremely well in this really, really severe winter we had, or let's say normal winter. They all did fine. And the bees absolutely love them. We have just so many pollinating, you know, bees all over our lilac bushes all the time.
Well, some plants did exceptional, and other plants right next to them died. I have the same thing going on with roses. My modern hybrid roses, most of them took a good hit or even killed out. And I got some antique roses from the 1800s, and they look like winter didn't even occur.
Yeah, I think what they've done is that the species that we're growing in the village of Lombard is set up by the park district. The park district is actually grows them here locally, and they every in the May we have our lilac parade and our lilac, you know, this lilac village, and they sell. No, they're selling them now. I used to give them away to people who are local residents. And people plant them all over the place. But I think since it's been kind of a species sort of adapted to our environment, they seem to be doing extremely well.
Well, I believe, if I'm wrong, correct me, Dan, don't lilacs come from China?
Yeah, they're Asian.
Yeah, they are. And they can handle some pretty tough conditions. I got to tell you, I don't begrudge anybody growing a lilac. I would encourage you to grow natives alongside it if you can, because I know people love their lilacs. They love the smell. It's a tradition, and they are tough. I've got a lilac in a container that I've had for 10 years in the backyard. It's one of those dwarf lilacs, and I put it in the container. I swear I haven't pruned it more than twice, and I certainly haven't added any fertilizer, and it blooms like a champ every year, and I can move it around, and then at this time of the year, I put it next to the garage where I'm walking out the back door, I smell the fragrance. They're tough. There's just no doubt about it.
The bees just love them. Absolutely love them.
All right, Tim, thanks. I appreciate the comment. Have a great Sunday.
Me too.
Bye-bye. Dan, we're out of time.
Okay.
But you mentioned roses, and I'm glad you did because next week I'm going to have Susan Fox, Rosarian, who's been on the show before, and I think we'll address that issue you were talking about, how some roses made it and some didn't, and why that is.
Yeah. And people should be watching for signs of stress on their woody plant material this year and trying to keep them a little bit moist and everything if we get a harsh season. And things that they should be looking for would be leaf color that's off from normal color, things that didn't flower, if the leaves are smaller than normal. All those things are a lot of seed production, heavy seeding. Those all indicate damage to the root system or the plants being under stress. And so we need to really watch and pay attention to that this year.
That's a really good point, because plants, you might think, oh, gosh, I made it, or they made it. And then suddenly they, you know, they leaf out, but they don't. They go into decline.
Yeah, they start leafing out and then they die back because the roots have been lost. So not the early budding out is just moisture that's in the stems that's being used, but then it can't draw anything up because the roots are dead or fully damaged, and so then it dies back.
Yeah, and you have the 50% rule. If more than 50% of the plant has died, you probably need to replace it.
Yeah, why bother at that point?
Yeah. All right, Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale, and the information is there on my website. You can find the link to Vern Goer's. Dan, always a pleasure. And we didn't even get into bonsai, but your bonsai made it through the winter okay, I take it?
Yeah, for the most part they did. The redwoods had a little problem, but the other guys are pretty good.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. All right, I'm sure we'll talk again soon. You have a great Sunday, Dan.
You too, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And let's talk about tender lettuce, yummy kale, succulent sweet corn. You didn't plant them just to feed some greedy deer and rabbits. And yet, these animals can wipe out an entire garden in one morning. Bonide has the answer. All natural, go-away deer and rabbit repellent can help save your flowers, vegetables, shrubs, and trees, including fruit trees, from these nuisance pests. All natural go-away can be applied directly to plants, and it keeps animals from eating them for up to 45 days. Go-away liquid can be applied to vegetables and fruit for protection up to the day you want to harvest them. Go-away also comes in a granule that lets you create a barrier around your garden and protects your landscape plants for up to 2 months. Go-away can be found at Sonoris Brothers in Frankfurt, Karp's Garden and Feed Center in Hobart, Indiana, and Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, or go to Bonide.com, BONIDE.com, to find a retailer near you. Let's play this too.
In the Green Room.
You dig?
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com, right in your own backyard.
Energy efficiency is what the folks at ComEd call it. It puts $700 million back into your wallet.
ComEd's energy efficiency programs save you hundreds of millions of dollars with lighting discounts, fridge recycling, and AC rebates. So visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
$700 million, and it's all for you and me. So get in on the green with energy efficiency.
This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
Brought to you by ComEd's energy efficiency programs.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoisolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at illinoisolar.org for more details.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
BINOMIKE.com.
The mic.
All right, time to get to our meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Good. Isn't this the music that was being played in Goodfellas before Robert De Niro whacked someone?
Probably.
Yeah, and I think that's when Ray Liotta looked at him and De Niro said, not tonight. And then Joe Pesci just took care of it with a screwdriver in the back of the head, I think.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Wait.
Happy Decoration Day, as my grandma Pauline Volk used to say.
Oh.
What was that?
That's the frog. This is my wooden frog.
Oh, the wooden frog. I like
which actually sounds like crickets chirping. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because my...
I saw a bunch of beautiful turtles yesterday.
Did you? Where?
It was at a small lake called Trumbull Lake in southern Wisconsin, and Rebecca was up there with some horses, and I decided to go for a long walk, and you know, Friday was National Turtle Day, so I paid my homage to turtles.
Wait, how did I miss National Turtle Day?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably the slowest moving holiday of the year.
Oh! Thank you, Rick DeMaio.
Yeah, so I went for a long walk, and there was these beautiful turtles sunning themselves. And you know what happens when you lay in the grass on a summer day is you begin to check yourself a little bit later for, you know, those little what do they call those things, ticks?
Ticks, yes.
Yeah, and I pulled one out this morning. Yep.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I went to bed last night. I felt something when I woke up this morning. And after I took a shower, I looked in the mirror and went, yuck.
Oh, dear.
Is that not the grossest thing in the world when you got to yank that thing out of your head? Ugh.
Yikes. Well,
yeah, I know. So it's welcome summer, right?
Well, I'm just welcoming the people who are having breakfast right now.
And here we are talking about people being whacked, looking at turtles and pulling ticks out of your head.
Exactly. It's Science Sunday.
I mean, isn't that what garden people do? They get dirty. So it's not like you're a lover of gardening. You go, oh, you mean I got to get my hands dirty? I mean, I mean, I don't know about you, but how often do you wear gloves when you're digging? And I mean, don't you like to get your fingers in there and get the dirt underneath your fingernails? Don't you like to do it?
Yep, I do, actually. If I don't have to wear gloves, I won't. But I do it when I'm pruning roses, yes.
Yeah, and you know, talking about listening to your previous segment about people asking questions about their garden, I was looking back at the climate data so far for the month of May here, and we've been talking about how variable our weather has been, but you would probably say, Mike, as a garden expert, this has been great weather for roses, hasn't it?
Well, not the winter so much. There was a lot of dieback.
No, but I mean, as far as the wetness, the coolness,
sure.
Some sun, even though, as I mentioned last week, it was going to get cooler by the end of the week, which it certainly did. And when that lake breeze kicked in, not only was it cool, it was downright cold, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. Even last night, the back door was open and I had to close it. It was really cool out there.
Yeah. And it was determined when they finally were able to deploy the buoy in the south end of Lake Michigan. That's the buoy that's put out there by NOAA. There's two of them. There's one in the south end of the lake, which is generally somewhere between Kenosha and Waukegan. It's about 40 miles offshore. They registered the coldest water temperature ever for this time of the year, 36 degrees, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they look back at the data, which goes all the way back to 1980, on average, we should be about 45 degrees. And you go, oh, well, that's only, 8 or 9 degrees. But to warm up the lake over the course of a month, we may not hit 45 degrees until maybe the third week of June. And there's, believe it or not, there's still ice in southern Lake Michigan still.
Not, no, Southern Lake Superior.
Southern Lake Superior, right? I sent that information to you yesterday.
Yeah.
And you could actually check into the Bayfield Marina, which is way north on the northern tip of Wisconsin. And as they show you in your room, they go, see that out there? That's ice. which is crazy still, which is really amazing.
It is unbelievable. Still 1% of the Great Lakes covered. And if you look on the map, the 1% appears actually much larger simply because, well, you know.
That's because it's mainly in Lake Superior. But before we lose the ability to talk about the forecast here, just looking back at the month of May, we've had 2 days with the high temperature in the 40s, 5 days in the 50s, 7 days in the 60s, 5 days in the 70s, 4 days in the 80s, and oddly enough, we had 1 day in the 90s. Talk about variability. And you know what that adds up to a departure above or below normal?
What?
Absolutely 0.0.
No, really?
Find the map for this month. It looks normal, but no one would actually say that our weather's been normal this month. So that's really when you can look at climate numbers and say, well, it really didn't tell you what the weather was like.
Yeah.
But we've probably hit what's called the meteorological bullseye, Mike. Great weather for Memorial Day weekend. Brilliant sunshine today, even though the lake breeze is going to kick in a little bit later this afternoon and drop us back into the 50s right along the lakefront. About a mile or two inland, we'll still make it up to about probably 70 degrees, maybe 80 degrees far west of the Fox River. We'll definitely do it during the day tomorrow, probably mid to upper 70s as the wind turns south, probably low 80s inland. And then it looks like even a little bit of rain that comes through, which is so far really not needed. 4.74 inches for the month of May. We're doing great on that. The rest of the week, all of a sudden, everything looks like it's basically in a early summer mode. So no worry about frost, no worry about freeze. We got a couple of days where readings are in the mid-30s early this week in the western areas of the Chicagoland region. So we're finally looking up from a standpoint of weather as we head into summer 2014. We can say that with a lot of optimism.
Wait, did you say there will be no 30s away from the lake?
No, we're done. We're done, totally done with temperatures below 40 degrees now. Because we had a couple of days this past week, we had readings in the mid to upper 30s in the far western suburbs.
Right.
And now with the pattern finally getting out of that late winter pattern, even though the Great Lakes is still pretty cold, everything suggests that we're into a late spring, early summer pattern. And it's going to hold for a long time. So good news from that standpoint.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your tomatoes.
There you go.
I think that's it.
As long as Jim Neighbors doesn't sing it, that's fine with me.
Rick DeMaio, have a great holiday. Do something fun tomorrow, and we will talk next week.
Ticks, right?
Yeah, and right, don't lie down in the grass anymore. Please
okay,
don't.
Take care, Mike.
All right, you too. Second hour of the Mike Novak Show. We've got politics. We've got native plants. We'll teach you how to put them in your yard and what you should be looking for, and I hope you stick around for that.
DINOMIKE.com.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split-stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
All alone, 'cause I've had my share. It'll creep up on you when you least expect.
So I hope you folks heard that. I hope you heard that Mr. DeMaio said, now's the time. Get it done. In terms of your garden, that is to say. That cold weather is gone, finally. And, you know, isn't that the way it always works in Chicago? This is nothing new. Come June 1st, it's usually Memorial Day. And then everything becomes nice. The sun comes out, it gets warm. It takes that long. It really does, kids. It really does. So a couple of tweets looking at here this morning. Scott Jameson, you know, and talking about shrubs and trees that made it or didn't last, well, over the winter. Scott Jameson says, sassafras sapling survived the winter. Boxwood burn, but no death. Burn on Alaskan white cedar. Itea damaged. You know, a lot of a lot of damage out there. And Celesta 1013, who retweeted something, and this is something, if nothing comes out of that conversation I had with Dan Costa in the first hour, this is the bit of advice I would give you. Don't fertilize the plant if it's not doing well. And she writes great advice, and it is. It's just silly to think that putting fertilizer on a stressed plant is going to make it perform better. Dave Coulter writes, heard somewhere once that boxwoods grew best in Italy. I'd be happy to lead an investigation to find out. Yeah, wouldn't we all? We'd all like to go there. And of course, Zan is cleaning up the basement and listening to Mike now. Hey, Zan, aren't you baking something? All right, before my guests come in, Ted's been hanging a while, so I'm going to go to the phone and take this call very quickly. Ted in Lake Villa, good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. Mike, I apologize. I haven't been listening all day, so I don't know if this subject has been covered.
Okay.
But I'm just a suburban homeowner with a quarter-acre lawn. And I haven't done synthetic fertilizers for about 5 years, and the company that was doing my organic lawn care couldn't do it anymore. They just didn't have enough business.
You know, I got to tell you, Ted, I'm amazed at how hard it is for organic and natural lawn care businesses to stay in business and how few of them we have in the Chicago area. That's disappointing to me.
Absolutely. You know, and it all comes down to, I think, to economics and education, is that people just they get bombarded with the commercials saying, you know, look at your beautiful lawn and all you do is these four easy steps. And as you know, that synthetic is just keeping the plate spinning. You got to keep that stuff going or else your lawn's going to suffer.
Yeah, I know it is. And that's a really good way of putting it. It's a plate spinning. It's a, you get on this merry-go-round with propping up your lawn with synthetic chemicals and pesticides. And I use pesticide in the grander scheme, meaning herbicides and fungicides and all the sides there. So what's your story then?
Just trying to do my research, I found this product. I've heard you say Milorganite before.
Yeah.
And I'm going between that and this thing that I just found called Green It in a Box. Do you know anything about that?
I do not know about Green It in a Box.
Okay.
Is that like a wine in a box? That's.
It's $40. They send you, you hook it to your hose and you spray it on the lawn. And it's supposed to be organic and, you know, the whole key is to getting your soil to start coming alive and having the microorganisms make the nitrogen and food for the grass instead of, you know, synthetics doing it for it.
You know, I just typed it in and I'm looking it out, and this is the first I've heard of this. And, you know, sometimes you hear about things and you don't. Environmental expert is writing about it. It says, unlike synthetic fertilizer, can harm soil life and cause rapid disease-prone growth, these organic formulas nurture healthy growth and support the soil ecosystem. Easy to apply. I'd have to look it up, though, because I don't really know about it. I'd like to see. It says that it's organic-based with more than 80% organic matter. It's quite possible. It says 100% organic. Well, they got different versions of it. They got Green It Spring. They've got the Green It Summer, which is a organic alfalfa. Excuse me. The Fall, which is, and they just say organic matter. And I'd have to see what the MSDS sheet is, which tells you exactly what the product is in there. I'll tell you what, do me a favor, Ted. Send me, now I know Milorganite, you know, because they're a sponsor on the show.
Right.
They are organic, and it's a low nitrogen and organic. If you put it on, it's, you know, it's not going to burn the way we were talking about earlier, Dan Costa and I. I'm looking I'm going to get their numbers here. Hang on one second.
Okay. And I don't know how much time you have to spend with me, and I wanted to rapid fire some questions and comments at you.
You know what? I don't have time because I got guests lined up here. I thought you were being patient and holding on. I'll tell you what I would ask you to do is to send me some information, and I can respond via email. It's mike@mikenovak.net.
Okay.
And happy to do that. And by the way, I was looking at the malorganite analysis. Nitrogen is 5%, phosphorus 2%, potassium 0.32%. So it's low, you know, and that's what there are some people who tell you in the business that anything under 10 is wasted. I like it. The lower it is, the more gentler it is, especially if it's organic. They also have some calcium, some iron, in there, a little bit of sulfur, magnesium. Yep. So, you know, you can't go wrong with malorganite, but I'll have to look up the Greenit for you and see what I think, and maybe talk to some of my friends and see what they and I love their slogan, Greenit, organic lawn in a box.
Right. It makes it easy, and that's a good marketing thing.
Yeah.
It got my attention. And real quick, you know, I went to go see pH testing where I can get my soil tested.
Yeah.
And I called the Lake County Extension office. Yeah, they said the closest lab was down in Princeton, Illinois, at Agri Energy.
What?
That could test my soil, and I went.
No.
Am I calling the Illinois Extension office? It sounds like because I got transferred, and she really didn't know what to tell me. I went, something doesn't sound right here.
No. Okay, hold on. I can tell you right now, soil. Let's see here.
Do you agree I should start with soil testing?
Yeah. You always, that's always the best way to go. Okay. Here's write down this website.
You got it.
All right. Actually, it's on my website, but I'll just take you straight to this. If you go to my website, mikenovak.net, /soil.htm. Okay. That's all you need to do. mikenovak.net/soil.htm. Scroll down to the bottom and it says, online lists of soil testing labs.
Okay.
And the University of Illinois Extension has lists, Purdue University, and Organic Gardening even has lists there, and they list testing labs throughout the U.S. But if you click on the Illinois Extension, you've got A&L Great Lakes Lab in Fort Wayne. You've got one in Champaign. You got one in Princeton, and others you can take a look at here. There's also in Wisconsin. I've sent up to Wisconsin. What's the one? Oh, I'm not going to remember the one that I want to remember. I'm going to find out one more and get back to you on this. But this is a good place to start.
Okay, yeah, and that Greenit in the box comes with the soil tester, but what I've read is said that you really can't get a good result by trying it yourself.
Yeah, you really want a good result, send it to a lab. They know what they're doing.
I'm going to try it myself and then do the lab and say, oh, boy, look, I had a pH of 13, and they got theirs at 7.2, so, yeah, I was off.
Whatever. All right, Ted, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
I'll email you, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Bye-bye.
773-763-9278 is our phone number. I am going back to the phones and talk to Kelsey Shaw from Possibility Place. Now, Kelsey, obviously the thing I should have told him is get rid of the lawn and put in some native plants, right?
Absolutely.
and that's where this is going, because Kelsey is, as I said, with Possibility Place. You can go to possibilityplace.com, and they are teaming up with the Forest Preserve District of Will County. In fact, let's bring in the executive director of the Forest Preserve District of Will County, and that is Marcy DeMoro. Are you with me, Marcy?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
All right. Everybody's on speakerphones here, huh? Can you guys get off your speakerphones and talk to me with the handset?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Kelsey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you on that sounds like a speakerphone.
No, I have my headphones in, and I'm actually looking at Marcy at the moment.
Oh, you guys are in the same room.
We are.
Wow. Okay. It's just a...
You know what? Hang on a second here. Let me try and change something. Can you hear me better now?
No, it's worse.
No. Oh,
okay. Well, let's see what we can do here. Just be quiet when the other one's talking. I'm happy to be part of this with the Bringing Nature Home Native Plant Sale. And, of course, you guys named it after the book, Bringing Nature Home, Doug Tallamy's book, which has really become almost a movement. People are beginning to understand yet one more reason why native plants are so important. And that is, in his book, it's habitat and insect biomass is kind of what he goes after in that. You know, in the past, we were always told, well, natives are good because they use less water. They're adapted to our conditions. But we really didn't think about the insects so much, and now we are, especially with our bees in trouble, our native pollinators in trouble. We're beginning to realize that, you know, they need something to feed on. And we're not just talking nectar here, are we, Kelsey?
No, we're not just nectar. It has everything to do with the host plants that would be available for these insects, especially some of our pollinators like our moths and butterflies that would be appropriate for them to lay eggs on. And it's getting more and more difficult for them to find the woody plant hosts that are, you know, that we used to be so common in our area and now are rapidly disappearing.
Okay. And you've worked with plants for a long, long time at Possibility Place. Now, you guys are primarily, or at least started out as with working with woody plants, trees and shrubs, right?
My father did, but my brother and I, we actually got our start with the nursery growing the perennials for
him. Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a nice way for little kids to kind of get involved because they germinate so easy and the results are a little quicker. But, you know, as we kind of matured into what we're doing, we definitely got into the woodies. We do a majority of our own collecting, you know, throughout the northern Illinois area to have to track these plants down.
All right. I'm going to start with specifics because I promised people there would be some specifics here. I don't know if you heard the first half of the show, but we were talking about plants that took a hit over the winter. A lot of plants that are not native, boxwoods and yews.
Even marginally hardy natives took it in the teeth this year. Our sassafras in the field got burned. So our witch hazel, they got burned. Some of our dogwood, a lot of our woodland viburnums, they got hammered.
Really? That's something.
It was disappointing, too.
I know. Well, because as I read from this blog from this designer in Michigan, she said it was a once in 130-year event, basically.
Anytime I hear it's like, oh, we only get these once every 100-year events, I'm thinking, well, that means once every five, right?
Yeah. it seems to be heading in that direction. You know what I've discovered here, Kelsey, is I'm hearing you, I think, through Marcy's phone as well, and that's part of what's going on here.
I'll step out.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Go into the other room, and you guys can talk via the phone. And while he's doing that, Marcy, I want to talk to you about the sale that the Forest Preserve District of Will County is putting on. How long have you guys been doing this?
This is our second year partnering. Last year, we did it for the first time. It was kind of a pilot program. And without any advertising, we had 500 people that showed up over the single day. So we were so excited by the results of that, we decided to partner again. And we have quite a day that's set up. So we're very excited.
Well, tell me a little bit about the day that is set up. Of course, I'm going to be there. Or I'll ding myself here about 10:30 or so and chat with folks. But you've got some other great I'm fascinated by the seminar you're going to have on bats.
Right. Well, first, I mean, the sale goes from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it is located at our Sugar Creek Administration Center, which is on Laraway Road, about 2 miles east of Route 53. But you can also go to our website at reconnectwithnature.org, and we have a whole page. If you look on our webpage, there's a highlights on the lower left side, and you hit that, and a whole page comes up with all the information about the event. And we have, in addition to the selling of the plants, we have a number of exhibitors there, and then we have these speakers, which are just absolutely dynamite. Starting at 9:30, we have one of our own staff, Juanita Armstrong-Alberg, who is one of our natural resources land manager, and she's also a bat expert. And she's going to be talking about how important bats are, about natural pest control, how many mosquitoes they can eat, anything that's mosquito size, really, they can eat in an hour. So she'll be talking about what you can do to invite bats into your yard and dispelling myths about, you know, how bad they are. People, when you hear bats, they automatically think the worst possible things. But so she's there to talk about, no, they're not. They're actually better than a bug zapper.
That's interesting you should say that. We have decided that certain things are creepy, and we put them in our creepy category, and bats are in that, and spiders are in that, and snakes are in that, and of course they're all doing their jobs out in the wild and being part of the soil food web and being part of other webs of life. I think we got to get past that. That's just, especially since we are losing our bats, like we're losing our bees.
Yes, we are. And I mean, I think it's part of, along with, you mentioned Doug Tallamy in his book. I mean, of course, the other book that came out a few years ago was Last Child in the Woods. And that's about the whole disconnection from nature and how we have to be reconnecting with nature. And I think once people do that, and I think starting with native plants in your backyard is a really good first step, is that you realize that these are part of natural ecosystem functions. These are the parts that we have to nurture and invite into our spaces, our outdoor spaces.
Absolutely. And then I see that at after me, there's gardening for pollinators.
It's Nancy Kuhada. She is with the program coordinator for the Master Gardeners at the University of Illinois Cooperative Extension Service. This is the Will South Cook office, and she's going to be talking about making a pollinator-friendly environment in your landscape. And then the last speaker, of course, is Connor Shaw. That is Kelsey's father, who is the proprietor of Possibility Place Nursery. And he's going to be talking about how critical it is to have a good root system when you're transplanting plants and getting them established.
And all great speakers. And meanwhile, you can wander in and out and you can buy your plants. And speaking of Possibility Place, Kelsey, are you with me there?
Oh, I'm still here.
See, that's so much better. So much better. You know, it's like, don't put people in the same room with phones on a radio show.
You're not kidding.
I got another tweet from Scott Jameson. He writes, most of my trees are from Possibility Place Nursery. Zero mortality. Chinkapin oak, aspen hop hornbeam, sassafras, amazing nursery is what he writes.
I appreciate that. I'll have to, you know, make sure that he gets a freebie. I mean, no.
but he did say that his native Itea took a hit this winter.
You know, an Itea, like I was saying before, it's a borderline hardy, you know, semi-native plant to our area. You know, you're talking where it does much better is much further south. And when you bring even native plants, you know, too far, you know, north, so to speak, at least, you know, in the near future, you may see them take a hit. Things that are leafing out late or took it in the teeth this year, like tulip tree, sweet gum. There's a bunch of them that are, you know, much more comfortable further south that really got nipped this past winter. And we need to be aware that when you're choosing native plants for your yard, it's not so much that you have to be super, super local. It's just that you have to be aware of the types of siting situations that you are going to have and what kind of success that will bring to your yard when you pay attention to those environmental factors.
Yeah, but, you know, I've talked to your dad and I've interviewed him, and you guys are super local. I mean, you gather seed in a 100 or 150 mile radius of your operation, and that's all you gather, from what I understand.
You know, we do have outliers, but most of those outliers are basically for our fun. There are plants that we like that definitely fall outside of there, but the majority of what we do and the things that we stress and the things that we encourage people most strongly to do is look at your local environment, see what grows well in it, and if you like it, plant it.
All right, here's what I'm gonna set you guys up right now. When we come back, I want both of you, Marcy and Kelsey, to give me some examples of plants that people can get tomorrow, you know, and put in their yard for sunny area, shady area, dry area, and wet area. You know, we'll get as many as we can, but I let's do some specifics and especially plants that, you know, are going to be at the sale, next Saturday. And of course that is the Bringing Nature Home Native Plant Sale, Saturday, May 31st, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. At the Forest Preserve District of Will County. The address is on my website, mikenovak.net. It's at the Sugar Creek Administration Center in Joliet. We will be right back with Kelsey Shaw and Marcy DeMauro. Now, yesterday I spent a couple of hours at Christy Weber Farm and Garden at 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago. And if anybody in the city has a better selection of plants, tools, soil amendments, and accessories for your yard or patio, or even your living room, I'd sure like to see it. And natives, too. It was funny. I had a woman come in. We got talking about natives, and I said, they got a section over there of native plants. You should go over and check it out. Now, did you know that they also have the city's largest wild bird feeding department? They feature several brands and offer a full range of bird feeders, including some beautiful metal accessories made right here in Chicago. And that's in addition to the bee and chicken and composting supplies and more. Now, if you buy a plant and a container from them, they'll pot it up for free. You can also bring in your suffering plants, and some of us have long-suffering plants, and they can usually assess the situation and repot for a modest fee. Go to CWFNG.com or spell it out, Christy Weber Farm and Garden.com. Either one will get you there. Christy Weber Farm and Garden, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago. Find them on Facebook or go to CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
From simple to gourmet, nothing's fresher or tastier in recipes than homegrown, vine-ripened veggies and savory herbs. Do you grow your own? With Bonnie Plants, a kitchen garden at your back door or in containers can produce an amazing harvest for cooking and for sharing. Find how-tos, plans, and more at BonniePlants.com. Your recipes might not change, but your results sure will. Fresh, healthy Bonnie veggies and herbs. Get growing.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
There's ramps in them thar kettles. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Actually, I'm talking about wild leeks. Allium trichocum, or trichocum, the plant that the city of Chicago was named after. The Mike Novak Show team member emeritus Rob Carthall has loaded up his truck and moved to the Kettle Moraine area in Wisconsin, where he's now the land steward. And congratulations, Rob, on your new title and position up at Windhorse Retreat Center. And he writes to us every week sharing his discoveries and observations. Family farms running on solar and wind, a pasture full of alpacas, some of the purest spring water you'll find anywhere. You can visit Rob and discover it all for yourself you don't actually have to talk to them if you don't want to. But Windhorse Retreat Center is holding a stewardship retreat week from June 13th through the 20th. Hike the trails, help maintain over 30 acres of meadow, savanna, and woodland, and cap the week off with a solstice celebration on June 21st. Lodging and camping are available, and communal meals will be prepared daily. Visit windhorseshambhala.org. And Rob, I said, how do you pronounce that last week? And he sent me the Three Dog Night song. Okay, I get it, Rob. But it's actually spelled windhorse.shambhala.org. Or you can friend the Windhorse Retreat Center on Facebook. That might be a little easier. It's in Plymouth, Wisconsin, less than an hour north of Milwaukee. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And I mentioned it last hour. I'm going to mention it again this hour. There's some changes, and I'm not talking about Ed Schultz going away. I'm talking about changes on our FM, two of our FM stations, 92.7 and 99.9. Not this week, but the following week, there will be Polish broadcasting. And it might give me a chance to actually learn how to speak Polish finally. But the weekend shows are not affected. So if you tune into Mighty House every Saturday morning, if you listen to Decay, if you listen to Out Chicago, if you listen to Hal Sparks, if you listen to The Family Meeting, if you listen to my show, we're still going to be here on all of the stations on Saturdays and Sundays. So I just wanted to get that out so nobody panics. Let us get back to Kelsey Shaw. From Possibility Place Nursery, and Marcy DeMauro, Executive Director of the Forest Preserve District of Will County. Big sale next week. Okay, I'm going to start with you, Kelsey.
All right.
All right. What popped into your head when I said give folks some ideas of native plants they should be putting in their yard?
Well, for a typical urban yard, especially in the city or even in the suburbs, since it's such a small space in many circumstances, there's a lot of smaller native shrubs that would do very, very well under those conditions. So things like Hypericum prolificum, the shrubby St. John's wort.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful little shrub, nice yellow flowers, and only gets about 4 feet tall in full sun. Well, you know, 5 feet if it really likes you, but that's a big one.
And if you ask for it and you don't remember the Latin name, go for shrubby St. John's wort.
Yeah, exactly right. And it blooms, bright yellow for a good part of 3 weeks.
Okay.
You want to talk about a pollinator-friendly plant, too. That thing's a gorgeous little monster.
What other shrubs? Because I think people go to the same old in terms of shrubs. And you know, when they're planting natives, they tend to think in terms of perennials.
Exactly. But ironically enough, though, a lot of people, even though they're named varieties, there are selections of native plants that a lot of people use already. But, you know, I prefer straight species because I like reliable color and reliable flowering. And, there's a lot of viburnums that would be on the market, especially for small yards, for people looking for maybe some natural screening. Viburnum prunifolium, which is the black haw viburnum, that's very widely used, but it's still a wonderful native plant to have.
Uh-huh.
And the straight species, it tends to be a little bit thicker up and down than some of the ones that I've seen in the trade so far. Then
we're talking black haw hibernum, HAW. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Black haw hibernum, exactly. And that's a gorgeous shrub. Then there's some of the native hydrangeas. And then one in our area is hydrangea arborescens, which is it's kind of a woody. And if it dies back to the ground, don't fear; it will come back with a vengeance. That one gets about 4 feet tall. Now, that one likes a little bit of moist shade. So those of you, looking for, by a gutter, for example,
you know, on the, you know, west side of the house, or that, well, not west side, excuse me, east side of the house, possibly on the north side of the house where there doesn't get as much sun, does very, very well under those conditions.
Now, that's one that's also, there's a variety called Annabelle. Right?
Exactly.
So if you're wondering what Hydrangea arborescens is, that's where the Annabelle comes from. Is there a straight species on that?
Yes, and that's a very critical point, is that the Annabelle hydrangea, the reason why they have Annabelle is it has the nice, big, bushy, like, white flowers. And that's wonderful, but the thing is that those flowers are sterile. Doesn't help you with your pollinators. You have the straight species, the arborescens, and the flowers, there seems to be more flowers, but that's just, I guess, a general biased opinion by me. But I get butterflies, I get honeybees, I get all kinds of stuff on it in shade, which is really nice. And plus, it seems to flower for a little bit longer, even though the Annabelle hydrangea flowers stay on for, you know, they're there. But they're, I don't know, there's some, it's just not as alive to me.
Yeah. And that's the whole point at something called Bringing Nature Home Native Plant Sale, is how do we get those native insects back to our plants and in our yards. All right. Marcy, give me a couple.
Okay. Well, you want me to stick with woodies or give us some of the perennials?
Go for the perennials.
Okay. Well, we have quite a large selection of native prairie plants. And I should point out that we're going to have about 125-ish approximately plants that'll be on sale, so you can pretty much find anything you want.
Actually, 125 kinds of plants, right?
Yeah, kinds of plants.
Not just 125 plants.
Because Kelsey tells me that he may not have all of them there that day if they're not looking looking the best, but he may have a few surprises. So that's why I say 125-ish in terms of the number of species that we'll have.
Okay.
But, you know, if you like prairie plants, we're going to have, you know, kind of the typical prairie plants that are so showy and that are so attractive to butterflies. So we have the butterfly milkweed, that's Asclepias tuberosa, cardinal flower, which is kind of nice because it can grow in full sun to light shade. And both of these are really, pollinators just love those plants.
Now let me ask you about that, because I know cardinal flower, though, likes wet feet.
It does. It does. It likes it a little on the moist side. Absolutely.
I've grown cardinal flower, but if it doesn't have wet feet, it doesn't last a long time.
You are correct. It likes it wetter. But we have a lot of clay soils in our area. So if you have parts of the yard that just don't drain or stay saturated, like I do, I live in Joliet, that's a perfect plant to put in.
Yeah, and it's just gorgeous. Now, what about the butterfly weed? What? How does that like the drainage?
That is actually, it likes to have it, you know, when you see it in nature, in natural areas, you can find them in sandy areas and in areas that are silty. So it definitely likes it better drained.
Okay. So those are actually, you know, kind of different situations. You want the cardinal plant, bright red blooms, you want it a little mucky and wet, whereas with the butterfly weed, the Asclepias, you want it better draining.
Better drain, and it has the beautiful bright orange, typical, you know, classical milkweed flower,
right,
but bright orange.
Okay.
Some other things we have, some of the more common things you might see in garden centers, like the black-eyed Susan, but then we have a whole host of other, like violets, bird's foot violet would be one, the prairie violet. So these are things that are very unusual. If you went to different garden centers, a lot of these, you would not be able to find these native species very easily.
You know, and the great thing about going to a garden sale like this or a plant sale like this is the experts are there. Not only you guys, but you know, some of your exhibitors and vendors like Wild Ones of Will County and the Conservation Foundation and Extension Master Gardeners, Illinois Extension Master Gardeners, and the Land Conservancy of Will County and the Illinois Native Plant Society. I mean, just great stuff. And you can, as I've said, I think I said it last week, the problem with people is they go into a nursery or a garden center and they see the bloom and they're sucked in by the bloom, and then they get home and they go, oh, I wonder if this works in my yard.
Right.
So ask questions first.
You definitely want to ask questions, and I think what's real important, I think Kelsey brought this up earlier, is you want to have an idea of, you know, where you're going to put it, but do you want something that's low growing? Do you want something that is going to get taller? And then do you care about color? What are the last year when a lot of folks ask, well, can this plant grow here? And the first thing I ask is, well, what kind of soil do you have? Is it well drained? Is it wet? Does it have clay? And they may not even know.
Yeah.
What type of soil that they're planting into.
Yeah.
So I think to have some basic ideas about where you want to plant it, how high you want it to grow, and do you have a certain color palette that you're looking for will really help the people that will be there that day to best help you decide what will be the best thing in your yard.
All right. Kelsey, give me a couple more woodies, and then I'm going to have to let you guys go.
Okay, well, before I mention the woodies, I also forgot to mention that we will also be having a rain barrel event with the Conservation Foundation, I believe.
Oh, great.
And if they order, I think by Wednesday, they can still get rain barrels delivered for pickup at the sale as well, which will help them with their gardening, because obviously if you can store a little rainwater to water in times of drought, really, really help them out.
Right.
Yeah, and of course that rain does not have the chemicals in it, which is
yeah, exactly right.
Yeah,
but the important thing is you can't get the rain barrels at the sale. You have to order those online. In fact, if you go to our website, there is a link that goes directly to an order form that you would have to order those online, and then they'll be delivered that day at the sale, and you can go pick those up.
And it's reconnectwithnature.org. All right.
Yes, sir. Now, as far as quick hit list, you can never go wrong with an oak tree. I'm sorry, if you're looking for a shade tree, you can never go wrong with it. Just make sure you know which one you're looking for.
Wait, which tree did you say?
An oak tree.
Oh, oak. Okay, great. Yes.
You know, you can't go wrong with those. They host the most caterpillars out of any group or any genus of any plant in North America. They have the most caterpillars, therefore they feed the most birds, and it helps with the most diversity in any singular yard.
Yep.
As long as you're not spraying, obviously.
Right.
And as far as, say, if you have a wet yard, you're maybe on the moist side and looking for a large shrub, button bush, the Cephalanthus occidentalis, a fantastic plant, good fall color, underused in my opinion, in a lot of landscapes, simply because it does tend to get a little big. But the flower show and fall color can be spectacular. And then, you know, things like ninebark, Physocarp opulifolius, which is a little bit more widely known, mostly because of the purple-leaved ones that are available. The green, even though it's green, better fall color and much better flower display.
All
right. And then, I'm sorry.
Oh no! Go ahead.
And also, if you're really looking to make a splash. Now you have to sacrifice a little space because they will sucker up a touch. But the native roses, they smell better than most roses that I've come across, and they get a little taller and they bloom for a surprisingly long period of time. And not only that, but if you on two species, the Rosa palustris and Rosa carolina, the fall color is the knockout. It's this nice glossy red in full sun. It's just beautiful.
See, even native roses. Well, listen, folks, thank you so much. Kelsey Shaw from Possibility Place Nursery, and that's possibilityplace.com. And Marcy DeMauro from the Forest Preserve District of Will County, it's reconnectwithnature.org. All of that information is on my website, mikenovak.net. And I hope folks will show up next week. I'll be there, too, and we're going to have a great time, aren't we?
We're looking forward to seeing you, Mike. I think it's going to be a blast, and we hope that everybody that can hear us has some time to show up, because it will be some fun.
All right. You guys have a great Sunday, and get ready for the big sale next week.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, and I have a message for you. Rose is a gall darn magnet for insects and diseases. Well, Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 can clear up that problem right away. Rose RX 3-in-1 is an easy-to-use rose and flower spray that will control insects, disease, and mites on your prized roses and other flowers, and it's entirely natural. Bonide Rose RX 3-in-1 spray can be used on flowers, trees, and shrubs. It can even be used on most houseplants to control insects, disease, and even hard-to-control mites. So when you start to see, and by the way, see, mite is not an insect. So this is accurate. It's got different number of legs from insects. Just saying. Anyway, so when you start to see diseases or insects invading your garden, go get Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1. Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 comes in quart, ready-to-use spray for easy applications and an economical pint-sized concentrate. Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 can be found at Allsip Home and Garden in Frankfort, Illinois. Also St. John, Indiana, Atrium Garden Center in Lake Zurich, and Village Green in Rockford. Or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you.
Energy efficiency is what the folks at ComEd call it. It puts $700 million back into your wallet.
ComEd's energy efficiency programs save you hundreds of millions of dollars with lighting discounts, fridge recycling, and AC rebates. So visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
$700 million, and it's all for you and me. So get in on the green with energy efficiency.
This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
Brought to you by ComEd's energy efficiency programs.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoisolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at illinoisolar.org for more details.
You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. For great growing results, I suggest you try Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. We were talking to Ted about that earlier on the show. Here's one of the reasons. Milorganite is very low in salts. Unlike synthetic fertilizers, Milorganite's nitrogen will not burn your plants and can be applied anytime during the growing season. And because the nutrients are released as the plant needs it, they are less likely... Well, Milorganite is less likely to leach into waterways, which is better for the environment. Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a garden center near you.
Hold on to me as we go.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go right to the phones. I'm going to bring in a couple of people. Jen Walling from the Illinois Environmental Council and Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
It turns out we're going to have less time than I thought, so we'll do this as quickly as we can, because here we are, the last days of the session in Springfield with the General Assembly, and there's a couple of things that have come up that are going to be a little scary, I think. One of them is the fracking law that went into effect, was signed by the governor last year, and then there were hearings that the IDNR had over the holidays, and then they continued. Well, 35,000 comments came in. I'm going to start with you, Jen. What happened this week that's in that realm?
So 3 p.m. on Friday, Representative John Bradley, who had been working on the fracking bill and has been complaining about a supposed delay in the rulemaking, introduced a 193-page bill. It's expected to be heard tomorrow at 3 p.m. Yes, Memorial Day. We'll be having a discussion about fracking, but it basically tosses out the entire rulemaking process and silences the voices of over 30,000 people who have made comments about fracking.
Okay, you just blew me out of the water there. So basically,
No,
and I'm glad you did, because that it's very succinct. And it's this guy comes in, one of our lawmakers says, forget the bill that we did last year. Things are going too slowly. So we need to throw it out. And what we'll do is we'll allow fracking immediately in the state. Oh, and by the way, we'll have a moratorium on the northern part of the state. What's Josh Morgerman, NRDC, what does that make you think?
Well, the moratorium is just an insult to, you know, anyone who's paying any attention. It's this idea that somehow, oh, we can mollify the people in Chicago, that big voting block, if we say that they're safe from this stuff, and continue to throw people in southern Illinois under the bus, that it's somehow okay to protect one part of the state and not the other. You know, the cynical part of it is, beyond just sort of that being horribly bad governance, is the fact that nobody really has any intention to frack up in the northern part of the state, particularly the counties around Chicago. We don't have oil or gas deposits up here that are worth a while. So it's BS, and we need to make sure that people know they can't do this last second, and we need to make our voice heard, even though they're trying very, very hard to silence us as Illinoisans.
And it is amazing, Jen, that this has come up on a Friday at 3 p.m. before the holiday. Once again, really bad legislation buried at the end of the work week, so people don't see it. But fortunately, I saw your notice that you sent out. I guess the problem here is these, some people think that the whole process is taking too long. How do you address that?
I've been through quite a number of legislation where we've had to do rules afterward, and this rulemaking is basically details to the statute. I've been through a lot of them, and this is going exactly in the timeline of other things that I've done. In fact, it's actually going somewhat quicker than some parts that I've been involved with other bills. It's totally normal, except the part that's not normal is having over 30,000 people comment on a rule. That rarely happens. So it's pretty obvious that there needs to be due care taken with whatever is written. And so, you know, I think this delay has been manufactured, and that they're trying to rush through something that immediately starts fracking and weakens the rules.
Well,
hey, Mike, let me just throw out that, you know, the deadline for this process to be over isn't until November. So it's no surprise to anyone that as we work our way through the summer that we're still going through this. This is, like Jen said, this is a manufactured controversy.
So as my parents would say, this legislator has, John Bradley, has ants in his pants. Why does he have ants in his pants? Does he think he can just sneak this through and people will say, hey, we've waited long enough? I mean, his idea is that if we don't frack tomorrow, we're going to lose all that money. It's going to go elsewhere. Well, guess what? It's not going to, as long as it's here and we allow it to happen in Illinois, they'll come rushing whenever the gates are open. But, you know, it just, it, as you said, it's kind of an insult to all of us, especially here on the north side, because what it looks like is he's saying, oh, we'll have a moratorium on the north side and you Chicagoans will get on board with this. It's kind of what it seems like to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you advising people to do, Jen?
So we have on our website at ilenviro.org a very, very short letter that you can write your legislators, because we literally put out this letter the second we saw the bill was introduced, and we'll be updating it. But our website, ilenviro.org, and there's an action alert right up on it. I've already had 500 people write their legislators, and that's absolutely what needs to happen. We need to flood legislators' inboxes and call them. I know it's a holiday weekend, but I'm in Springfield, and, you know, the legislature will be in on Memorial Day, and they will be considering this piece of legislation. So more they write, the better.
Yeah, and I've got that link on my website, mikenovak.net, where it says contact your legislator. Let's also bring in Stacey Myers from Open Lands, because there's one other thing going on in this last second, and this is the way things work in Springfield. Stacey, we're talking about the Ileana Tollway, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Unfortunately, the Illinois Department of Transportation is trying to sneak through a $250 million down payment into our state's budget for the Ileana Expressway, and that would lock us into a $1 billion tax subsidy for this road and prioritize it so that it's the number one transportation priority for the entire state for decades.
Oh, you're talking about the road to nowhere, basically, aren't you?
Yes. And the benefit of this wonderful piece of legislation would be that this road would only move about 20,000 cars and trucks per day, which is the equivalent of less traffic than you see on Cicero Road and Roosevelt Road in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness.
So we'd be paying a $1 billion tax subsidy for that. And at the expense of other needs throughout the state, like the Circle Interchange and other projects that will likely be waylaid because of this behemoth of a project.
And of course, what's interesting is CMAP, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, last year their board said this is not a good idea. And then, of course, the policy committee of CMAP turned around and said it was. And, you know, it sort of... It makes CMAP look bad, at least to me. Maybe I'm the only one. But if
it's unfortunate. You know, CMAP, the staff and the board voted 10-4 against prioritizing this project as a voice of reason because they said it posed an exceptional risk for negligible benefits, and they were right. You know, IDOT wants people to pay an $11 toll for this and to lock us in for decades, and the damage that this would cause is substantial.
Well, and of course, the idea being that, don't worry, we're going to find a private company that's going to be involved, but everything, every time you turn around, and all the new studies say we're going to end up footing the bill. The Illinois taxpayers will end up footing the bill.
Right, and what CMAP found is, contrary to IDOT's initial assertion that a private contractor was going to ride in and save the day by funding all of this, so we didn't need to worry about where the money was going to come from. We're finding out now that we are going to, as taxpayers of Illinois, assume all the risk, a $1 billion risk for this road, which is placed in a place and built in a way that it's strikingly similar to about 8 other roads throughout the United States that have failed miserably and cost the states even more than they initially anticipated.
And, of course, it's going to have a huge impact on the Medewin Tallgrass Prairie.
Unfortunately, yes. What this is going to do is, not only does it run trucks along its southern border where we have some of the rarest habitat in the world, is globally imperiled habitat, rarer than some of the rarest rainforests where grassland birds can only live there and in very few places otherwise in the world. This is going to run trucks, noise, exhaust, light right near where they nest, and it's going to have a terrible effect. And it's also going to drag trucks through the center of Medewin, through the heart of the prairie, on Illinois Route 53 in order to connect to this behemoth. Even if an interchange is offset a little bit, that's going to be the effect. And this is where we have bison that we are planning on seeing in November of 2014. This November, our first herd of bison that would be living along this right now quite peaceful road.
Oh, my goodness. And I've got the link on my website, MikeNovak.net. The Environmental Law and Policy Center has a Say No to Ileana link, and you can click on that and let your representatives know that you are not in favor of this. It just sounds like... So here we are. Jen, we just got a couple of minutes left. You said there's just so much going on in the general... Was there something else that we missed here?
So, I mean, I would say the last thing, I know everything this week and the last 6 days, but there's also a resolution that would prioritize nuclear power this week that we're fighting, you know, watching, making sure that the Department of Natural Resources budget gets funded, and then finally a bad resolution on climate change we're watching. So this is going to be a rough week, and we will see how much the General Assembly can beat up the environment in 1 week over the next 6 days. So,
Josh, do you want to comment on any of this? I'll let you have the final word here.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Springfield. It was a frustrating place to grow up on a variety of reasons, but seeing this sort of shenanigans happening the last week of session every year was always a frustrating thing. And this is a reminder to all of us that the General Assembly has a lot of folks who are beholden to special interests, and until we who care about issues on the environment and everything else start making our voices heard, we're going to get drowned out with this sort of last-minute, cynical kind of maneuvering. It's on us to get out there and make sure that our representatives represent us.
That's Josh Mogerman, NRDC, Jen Walling, in Illinois Environmental Council, Stacey Myers, Policy Coordinator for Open Lands. Thank you all for being on the show on a holiday Sunday. And if folks want more information, they can go to my website. It has the links to all of those organizations, which has much more information. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. Didn't mean to do that. One of the best things you can do for Mother Nature is give her a little assistance by putting some native plants in your yard and garden. We just talked to folks about that. Just do it a little bit at a time. And I just want to remind you one more time of the Bringing Nature Home Native Plant Sale next Saturday, May 31st, 9 to 3, presented by Possibility Place Nursery in Monee and the Forest Preserve District of Will County. Sugar Creek Administration Center, 17540 West Lair Way Road in Joliet. Lots of stuff going on, more than 125 species of plants. For more information, go to my website, mikenovak.net or possibilityplace.com or reconnectwithnature.org. All right. Too much going on, even on a holiday Sunday. I guess that's the way it works. Thanks for listening. And as we say each week at the end of the show, go green or go home.